Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org. Man, you guys sounded great today, and I loved watching y'all dance around and everything. So, church family, wasn't that great to be able to see our kids and worship with our kids this morning? Well, church family, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Adam, and I am the family pastor here, which basically means I get to work with kids and students and parents, and just I get to a lot of different tasks and roles, but I love to see kids and students worship Jesus. And so we're going to have a time, kids, to talk a little bit about a story this morning, so I need y'all to pay real close attention for me. Can y'all do that? And then parents, we're going to come back and y'all can pay attention to what we're doing up here as well, because I might quiz y'all on some things as well. All right, so I got a couple of items right here real fast. Who knows what I would use these items for? What would I use these items for?
Tennis.
For tennis, that's correct. We would play tennis with these. Now, today we're going to learn about a family, and the family didn't play tennis because they were a biblical family, and that was before tennis was there. You've played this before? Wonderful. But this family, there's a couple of things about tennis. There's a couple of terms in tennis that this family really showed to each other. So the first term that I want to talk to you guys about is the term called serve. Anybody know what it means to serve in tennis? What does it mean to serve in tennis?
It means to hit the ball towards the other side.
That's right. It means to hit the ball to the other side. It's the way the game starts, actually, right? You throw the ball up, and they hit the ball across to the other side of the net, and they serve the ball to the other person. The other term, and this one's a little bit harder, okay? This one's the other term that I think is going to help us with our Bible story this morning is love. Anybody know what the term love might mean in tennis? What do you think it might mean? That you care about? That's a good idea. That's a great, you know, some people really do love tennis. Actually, Mr. Kenny loves to play tennis. Who knows what love may mean in tennis? Do you have an idea? Or did she take your idea? She probably took your idea. So love in tennis, and this is going to be kind of strange, love in tennis actually refers to a score of 0. Is that kind of weird? Yeah, so instead of saying you have 0 points, they would say you have love. I don't get it, man. I don't play tennis, but that's the way it goes. So this family that we're going to learn about today loved one another, and they served one another in some big ways. And I want you guys to pay attention to me because I want to tell you the story about this amazing family and the way that they served one another and they showed love to one another. Now, we are going to be looking at the book of Ruth this morning and looking at this family. So the book of Ruth actually starts off with a family that lives in a town called Bethlehem, okay? So that Bethlehem, they're there, but there's a problem in Bethlehem at the time. And the problem is, do you know what the problem is? You don't know what the problem is? I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The problem is that there was a great famine in the area, which basically means that there was no food in the area. And so they needed to go somewhere to figure out where they could find some food. And so there was a man, and his name was Elimelech. Can y'all say Elimelech?
Elimelech.
Y'all did a great job. Adults, you can play along as well. Elimelech was his name. And so he, along with his wife named Naomi, can y'all say Naomi?
Naomi.
Hey, y'all are catching on. Y'all are doing great. He, along with his wife Naomi, they traveled from Bethlehem to an area called Moab, and they had two sons that they traveled down there with. Now, while they were there, the two sons ended up marrying two women in that area, and their two names of these two wives that they took were Orpah, I know, it's a weird name, all right? So can y'all say Orpah? Yeah, and Ruth. Ruth, yeah. So we have all of our characters set up right here. Okay, so everything seemed to be going really well for a while, right? Because we had Elimelech, and we had Naomi, and their two boys, and we had Ruth, and we had Orpah, and everything seemed to be going great. And then things didn't go so great. After a little while, Elimelech, he died. And not too long after that, the two other sons, they died too, leaving Naomi and Orpah and Ruth all by themselves. And in those days, that was kind of a hard thing because for the women to be able to help and take care of one another. And so Naomi decided, you know what, I need to go back to Bethlehem to be near my family. And so she begins to tell Orpah and Ruth, she says, hey, look, y'all stay here. Y'all stay with your families and maybe you can remarry somebody else. And I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, but y'all stay here. But Ruth had something real important that she said to Naomi. Ruth replied, she said, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if anything but death separates me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And so Ruth was determined to go with Naomi. Do you remember what she said? Do y'all remember what she said? Where you go, what'd she say?
I'll go.
Yeah, and where you stay, I'll stay. And your people will be my people. And your God, y'all are doing such a great job. And so Ruth and Naomi, they travel back to Bethlehem. And after a while, they're there. And Ruth realizes that she needs to be able to provide for herself and for Naomi. And so she begins to go out into a field. And she begins to harvest some of the grain in the field. And it wasn't long until the owner of the field came marching by, came riding along. And when he came by, you know what he did? He said, Ruth, I got something for you. And he gave her something to drink. And he said, hey, look, work in my field, and I'm going to take great care of you. I'll make sure that you're protected. I'll make sure that you are taken care of. And Ruth was so confused. She didn't know what was going on. She didn't understand why this man would be so nice to her. And what she didn't realize was, now this is a great name too. His name was Boaz. Can y'all say Boaz?
Boaz.
What she didn't realize was that Boaz was a part of Naomi's family. See, God has a great plan for our families. And she actually had a conversation with Boaz. And she said this to Boaz. She bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner? And Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. You see, the thing is that Boaz knew that, had heard all about these great things that Ruth had done for Naomi. So the story goes on. This is a great part of the story. The story goes on, and Boaz eventually and Ruth get married, and they have a little baby. And you know what his name was? You know what his name was? It wasn't baby Jesus, but it was close. His name, we're going to get to baby Jesus in a minute, actually. We're going to get to him in a minute. You know what his name was? Obed. Can y'all say Obed?
Obed.
And God provided a family for Naomi. God provided that through Obed and through Ruth and through Boaz. You see, the thing is, guys, is that God has given us a great family. Do you know that God has given you the family that he wanted you to have? God loves your family and he has special things for your family. But he wants us to love our families and serve our families. Just like we talked about with tennis just a little while ago, we can love and serve our families regularly as well. Actually, Jesus, did you know that Jesus had family? Jesus had brothers and sisters too. Did you know that? Yeah, well, listen to this. All right, my buddy over here that just said Jesus was the Ruth and Boaz's son. So, Obed, you know who he grew up to be? The grandfather of King David. Now, why is that important? Because later on, way down, King David and his family, you know who was born? Jesus. Jesus came out of his family. And so God had a great plan for families. And Jesus came and Jesus healed a lot of people, but Jesus also knew it was important to take care of family. He also knew it was important to love family. In fact, when Jesus was getting ready to die on the cross, he looked at his friend John and said, John, take care of my mother, because she needs somebody that will take care of her. And see, just like Jesus, you guys have been given a great family that God wants you to love and serve. God has a great plan for your family, and he wants you to be a part of it. And he wants you to love and serve your family. Do y'all think y'all can love and serve your family just like this family that we talked about today? Yeah? I want you to think about today, okay? Today, when you go home and you're riding home in the car with your parents, I want you to tell them and say, hey, Mom, Dad, this is the way I want to love and serve my family this week. Can y'all do that for me? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this day. I thank you for these kids. Lord, I thank you for the time that we've had to be able to open up your word together and learn about your great plan for our families. Father, I pray that you'll help us to love and serve our families this week and be just like Jesus did. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, y'all go ahead and y'all can go back and sit with your families now. Now, moms and dads, as the kids make their way back, we are blessed each and every week to be able to invest in kids. We're blessed to be able to invest in children just like that. We have some great volunteers, some great workers that are back there each and every week with us, teaching lessons just like the one that you just heard me give to the kids. They're there that are investing in them. And our kids are learning valuable lessons that will pay off for generations and generations to come. And then on Wednesday nights, we've got a student ministry, and we've got people that are invested in that, and that, again, a place where students can come and they can hear about the glory of God, because that's really what it's all about. You know, somebody had once told me this statement. They said, the days seem long, but the years are short. The days seem long, but the years are short. And what they really meant by this is that the days seem long. We get into the daily routine, right? As a young parent, if you take yourself back there, or maybe you're in that transition of life right now, you know, it's the daily feedings. It's the diaper changes. And then it's another feeding. It's another diaper change. It's just an ongoing process, right? Or as they get a little bit older, they start moving around, and then, you know, with my youngest son right now, we're like doing the potty training thing, which is the worst thing in the world, right? It's like, when will this end, you know? And then they get older, and they head off to school, and then they start having to transport them from here to there and making sure that they're getting up and they've got a lunch and they're getting their homework done and keeping up with all the responsibilities that they have. And the danger is, church family, that if we're not careful, we'll miss it. The danger is we'll miss it. We'll miss the opportunity that God has given us as parents or as a church family to minister to the children that we have. God has given us a great responsibility. I have a picture right here that I want to show you up on the screen. This represents 936 marbles. And 936 really doesn't mean anything specific. It does actually in a minute. But what I wanted to do with this picture is to give us an illustration. This number 936 basically represents 1 week that you have as a parent with your child from the time they're born until the time they turn 18 and prepare to move out of the house, graduate, and they're on their own. 936. That's it. It's not a lot of time. And if you're like me, you realize that time's getting even shorter. This is my jar. This is my daughter. She's 10. There's about 325 marbles left in this jar. That means about 600 weeks. A little over 600 weeks have gone by. I don't get those weeks back. You don't get those weeks back. What are we doing with our time? You see, the thing is, families, what I want you to understand, I don't want to say this as a way to, like, man, I feel depressed now. I don't want to leave out of here on this low note. No, I want to leave this you with this idea is make the most of the time that you have with your kids. Church family, we need to make the most of the time that we have with the kids that are here in our church. We need to make the most of the time that we have with our students. Because especially if you're a parent of a teenager right now, you realize that that time is getting less and less, and it's going faster and faster and faster. We need to make the most out of the time that we have. Because the painful thing is, at some point, we'll pull that last marble out. And then they're going to be on their own. Now, you'll still be the parents, and yeah, they'll probably still come to your house for Thanksgiving and everything else. But it's different. And if there's parents in here that have grown children, you realize this. You realize that it's different at that point. But our goal as parents and our goal as a church is this, is that no child, no student will miss the glory of God while they're here. And our goal as a parent is the same. No child would miss the glory of God. In Psalm chapter 78, the psalmist writes this. He says, "O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables, and I'll utter hidden things, things from old, what we have heard and known and what our fathers have told us." And then he goes on, verse 4, so important. He says, "We will not hide from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." Church family, that's a challenge for us. That is a challenge for us. That's a challenge for us as a parent of young children, as a challenge for us as a parent of teenage children. That's a challenge for us as just a church family, that no one would miss the opportunity to be able to realize that there is a God who loves them and wants to have that relationship with him. So church family, my appeal to you and my question to you this morning is this, is what are we doing with the time that we have? As a young parent or a parent of teens, what are you doing with the few marbles that you have left? How are you making the most of that? Instead of just talking about homework and all these other things, what spiritual conversations are you having? As a parent, maybe of grown children that aren't even in this fellowship together, what are you doing to pray for the next generation? Pray for these young parents in this room. What are you doing to serve and look for ways to serve these young children that they may know the glory of God? That's what God wants for us this morning. God has a special plan for us as a church to be able to help these kids see the glory of God. As we prepare to move into a time of worship and response together, I want us as a church family to pray for our families. If you're a family here this morning and you've got your young kids or your teenage kids, I want you as a parent to pray for your kids. If you're here this morning and your kids are off in another state, or you can pray for them as well. Or maybe you're a family here and you've not yet been blessed with children of your own or a single person. I want you to pray for the families in this church and pray for the children in this church that they will not miss the glory of God, that these families will be able to see and have that support system that they so desperately need. So I invite you to stand with me. And if you're a family here, you can gather, kind of gather around each other. But I'm going to lead us in a prayer. But I want you to pray for your own family as well. And again, praying for the families of North River Church and the families that we will have the opportunity to impact in our community as well. But let's join together in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for families. God, we know this is something that you have given us, something that is special. And each family is unique. And each family is different. And each family has different backgrounds. But God, you have called us as moms and dads, as grandparents, as brothers and sisters, to love and to serve one another. And Father, I pray right now for moms and dads in this room. Father, I pray a special prayer for them, Lord. I pray that they will have courage. Father, I pray that they will have strength. God, I pray that they will have much patience. Father, I pray for families that are in this church that are hurting right now. Father, I pray that the church family will gather around these families. They'll support one another. They'll encourage one another. They'll challenge one another. And Father, I pray, God, that no child or student that comes through the doors of North River will ever miss seeing that there is a God who loves them, that there is a God who wants to have a relationship with them. Father, I pray that you will burn in our hearts the need to reach the next generation, to reach young families. And Father, I pray that we will be a place that families look to when they are hurting and when they need help. Father, we thank you for families. In Jesus' name.